Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
This is really important for our culture, to understand where Christianity came from. And this is direct evidence. You can actually walk this path and come to this conclusion. You can know that Christianity was an invention of the Romans. It was done to pacify their subjects. And this is important because it gives us a different way of understanding government, how government operates, the tools that government uses, the purpose that government has for the various propaganda apparatus. The Gospels came from the Flavian imperial court.
Well, that's an American biblical scholar, Joseph Atwell. He's got a book and a alleged documentary that is out that is causing quite a buzz out there. The title Covert Messiah is a way of describing his particular theory. You heard it there in brief, that the Flavian court, Flavian Caesars in ancient Rome, made up Christianity, made up the existence of Christianity's central figure, Jesus Christ, as propaganda in order to subdue the masses, in order to more efficiently run the empire, in order to control people, and in particular to get them to pay their taxes. And the entire New Testament came from Rome, not from any of Jesus' disciples or any eyewitnesses to anything. Those things didn't exist. Jesus was made up. Now, before I heard this one, I had not heard anything like it before, but it's not the only kind of conspiracy theory attached to Christianity. We'll be talking about it and responding to the covert Messiah theory with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. He joins us on this Thursday afternoon. He's Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, and author and editor of more than 50 books, including his latest, Christ as Center and Circumference. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
We'll determine here in the course of our conversation whether or not the covert Messiah theory is in fact a conspiracy theory. I suspect it is. But before we begin in the details, what kind of warning would you issue to our listeners about conspiracy theories in general?
Well, in general, I should give the example of Uncle Oscar. My Uncle Oscar. Uncle Oscar is convinced that he is followed by Albanians. And when you say to Uncle Oscar, what do you mean? You mean they're all over the place? He says, exactly, exactly, they're all over the place. You say, well, what about Schultz, the Missouri Synod Lutheran who owns the little candy store down the street? And Uncle Oscar says, they're tricky, those Albanians. conspiracy theories are of such a nature that they qualify for the analytical philosopher's description of a nonsensical or meaningless notion. That is to say, if no evidence is able to count for or against, if there's no way either to demonstrate or to disconfirm a particular notion, then you are wasting a great deal of time in messing with it. You should instead watch old Gomer Pyle reruns on television rather than bothering with this sort of thing. And this is exactly what we're facing in this instance. By the way, Joseph Atwell is going to be lecturing in London next week. I happen to be in Strasbourg, but I fly to London all the time, and you might want to know why I'm not going to bother to go to the lecture. The reason for this is that I don't think that Joseph Atwell exists at all. I think that the notion of a Joseph Atwell was actually created by the British government in order to have an argument for disestablishing the Anglican Church. There are lots of problems with the Anglican Church if you are a politician there, and so it's quite obvious that the whole idea of doing this resulted in the creation of a Joseph Atwell who would present a theory like this. Now, not everybody realizes that this is the case. This comes from interpreting certain poetical lines of Prince Charles. But only people of aristocratic background really understand what's going on. And I do, because I'm the Comte de Saint-Germain de Montgomery, and also the Baron of Kiltartan. So I was able to see what was really hidden in this kind of thing. And so, of course, I'm not bothering to go to England, because Joseph Atwell is simply a mythological creation by the British government.
Very clever. Let's talk a little bit about what is being alleged here, because some people say, wow, they say they found evidence that the Flavian Caesars left behind documentary proof that they wrote the New Testament. But if you scratch just barely at the surface, you realize that the alleged proof that they left behind was a New Testament that is, in essence, a code, written in code, wherein the movements and activities of the character Jesus Christ completely parallel the movements and activities, military activities, of the Flavian Caesars. Therefore, if you know how to read the text, you will see that they really are the true authors, and they, in essence, signed their signatures to the New Testament. How do you respond to this?
Well, let's say, just for the sake of argument, that there was a parallel between the order of events in Josephus having to do with the Flavian emperors, and New Testament events. Let's say that there was similarity there. Would that show that the one caused the other, or even that the one had any necessary influence on the other? This is an example of the ancient logical fallacy, given the name in the Middle Ages, post hoc ergo propter hoc. If a thing happens after something else, then it's the result of it. In other words, the temporal sequence is equivalent to causation. Now, this is utterly ridiculous. The medieval logicians used the example of two clocks chiming the hour at the same time. Does that mean that one of the clocks caused the other to chime? Of course not. That is to say, similarity is not any indication of causation, of one thing producing another. So even if there were a similarity of events between events described by Josephus and an order of events in the New Testament, that wouldn't show prove anything anyway. Okay, but of course, there isn't any parallelism, realistic parallelism at all here. People have read Josephus for, 2,000 years, he being the only Jewish writer whose works have come to us from the first century, along with the New Testament, this is simply not a genuine parallel. This whole thing, it's just wonderful. It simply goes to show that my Uncle Oscar is not alone in this world.
With about a minute or so before we take a break, one of the quote-unquote evidences that Atwill points to demonstrate that the New Testament did not come from its alleged authors but from the Flavian Caesars is that what the Caesars are intending to do is they're intending to pacify the Roman population and, in particular, get them to be better tax-paying citizens, which is why they say the New Testament is pro-Roman Empire and pro-taxpaying. What are your thoughts there with about a minute or so?
Well, if that were the case, it's rather strange that Pontius Pilate, the procurator, would have allowed the crucifixion of Jesus. It would seem to me that he would have agreed with Jesus, with the notion of Jesus being a king of the Jews. He could therefore have made Jesus into an ideal symbol there in Palestine, and that would have supported this kind of notion. I mean, the whole thing is so absurd, it's very difficult to deal with it with a straight face. I mean, for example, all of the linguistic studies that have gone on concerning the New Testament have shown that the Greek, the Koine Greek of the New Testament, is deeply influenced by Hebraicisms, by Aramaicisms, by the Semitic languages that were Semitic dialects that were used by the authors as undoubtedly their native languages. Now, there's no way in the world that this stuff would have been produced by Romans. There is no influence of a Latin dialect that has had an impact on the Greek of the New Testament. The fact of the matter is that Atwell is touted, apparently, on the net and in these news reports as a scholar. He is no scholar whatsoever. He has not had any university training in anything, for goodness sake. He studied at a military academy in Japan, the only one speaking English, and then he studied computer science.
Well, let's take a break right there, Dr. Montgomery. Sorry to cut you off, but we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation on the covert messiah theory. Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning until noon on Saturday, November the 2nd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2013 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 2nd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org, click support, and publicize your congregation to the world.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a biography titled The Mother of the Reformation, The Amazing Life and Story of Catherine Luther. This new Reformation resource provides an inside look into the daily lives of Martin and Katie Luther. The Mother of the Reformation is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Mother of the Reformation, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
The Flavians were proud of their invention and encoded into the Gospels a message to posterity. All of the events of Jesus' ministry were created as symbolic representations of the Flavians' military campaign through Judea.
Just a little taste of a documentary based upon the best-selling book, Caesar's Messiah, from Joseph Atwill. He is the progenitor of the covert Messiah theory that you've been reading so much about. We're responding to it with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery this Thursday afternoon, October the 10th, here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC. Dr. Montgomery, we went to the break. You were in the middle of describing Atwill's lack of credentials in this or in any other area.
Well, it doesn't require much of a description because he has no qualifications whatsoever. He went to a military academy in Japan where they spoke English. He later studied computer science somewhere, but he doesn't say where. He states that he has studied hundreds of books. All right. Well, now, isn't that thrilling? I mean, is this the kind of background that should produce what you've called a best-selling book? Is this a piece of nonsense actually best-selling? You know, it isn't even published by any kind of reputable publisher. One edition is published by the Nine Banded Books, whatever that is. Another one is a second edition. What is the name of this thing? Iconoclast Books, and something else of his is published by Create Space Independent Publishing Platform. What is this junk? I mean, if this had any scholarly quality, whatever, if it were even a meaningful sort of hypothesis, surely it would be available from some kind of reputable source. This stuff is simply a lot of nonsense. Next week in London, a fellow scholar, in quotes, as it's described in his material, Kenneth Humphreys is going to be present. And Kenneth Humphreys has written a book entitled Jesus Never Existed. You know, similar to the arguments of G.A. Wells, whom I debated and took apart and put back together in a different order in London some years ago. Listen, the longest biographical article in the finest scholarly edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, the 11th edition, the longest biographical article in the entire encyclopedia has to do with Jesus Christ. The subject is Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be strange if, after 2,000 years, this person never existed at all?
As to his theories about the New Testament texts, he claims that they were made up of a whole cloth by the Roman court of the Flavian Caesars. That it was done as political propaganda. That they encoded their authorship in a very, very difficult to detect way, although Atwill claims to be able to detect it. Contrast that, if you would, Dr. Montgomery, with what we do know based upon actual documentary evidence of the origins and the authorship of the New Testament documents, in particular the four Gospels.
Well, we have the testimonies of two students of the Apostle John, Polycarp and Papias, and they say that John told them that not only had he written the Gospel of John, but that Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written by the traditional authors. Matthew by Matthew Levi, the tax collector, who was an apostle. Mark's Gospel by John Mark, who was a companion of the Apostle Peter. And Luke's Gospel by the physician who accompanied Paul on his missionary journeys. Now, classical scholars would sell their grandmothers for the kind of corroborating evidence of authorship that this provides. That sort of thing is not available for the classical works of antiquity. We therefore have solid reason for believing that the Gospels were written by the people traditionally to which they've been attributed. We also have the very strong argument of the German historian Adolf Harnack in the 19th century that the Book of Acts and the Book of Luke, of course, are written by the same person. That's clear from the prefaces to the two works. And the Book of Acts describes the missionary career of St. Paul. But at the end of the Book of Acts, Paul is still alive in Rome. Now, we know that he died in the Neronian persecution in 64-65. Had he already been dead, Luke would certainly have indicated this in the Book of Acts. In other words, the Book of Acts was written before Paul died in 64-65. But that's, as Luke says, a second treatise. The former treatise, that is the Gospel of Luke, he says, I wrote to you, Theophilus, concerning what Jesus' life consisted of. So Luke's Gospel has got to have been written prior to Acts. And Luke says in his preface to the Book of Acts that to his Gospel, to the Gospel carrying his name, that he relied on sources, and one of these sources was very clearly Mark. So Mark's gospel was written prior to Luke's gospel. And all of this is taking place between 65 and Jesus' crucifixion around 30. This means that that stuff is within a generation of the life of Christ, of his own activities. That again ties directly with the evidence of authorship that we were just talking about. What we have here are writings which directly reflect the life of Jesus, and they tie to this time period in every respect. And the early church investigated this sort of thing, tying these gospels to the bishoprics that were connected to the apostolic ministry. All of that is solid history, and it has nothing to do with some kind of alleged cryptographic, poetic imagery that reflects Flavian military campaigns. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever.
We talked earlier about the general flaw and danger of adhering to conspiracy theories. What we haven't addressed in as much detail is something you just mentioned there, and that is the tendency by Atwill and by many others who have attempted to do the same to somehow read hidden messages in the New Testament or other portions of Scripture. In other words, to say, look, the text is kind of a curtain behind which one must pass before you can get to the real message here. What are the dangers there, Dr. Montgomery, with about 2 minutes?
Well, the dangers are that you can do this with anything. You know, you can take the daily newspaper and argue that there are hidden meanings behind all of this. The fact is that there is no solid scholarly basis for such theories, and documents are innocent until proven guilty. And if you don't assume that the ordinary historical literal meaning of a text is what it actually means, then everything is up for grabs. The point is that this kind of thing, this sort of conspiracy approach, is used selectively. It's used by people who are, for one reason or another, not happy with the stuff as it literally and historically is provided. And so they want to create a world of their own. It's an unrealistic, immature attempt to create a world as we would like it to be rather than the world as it actually is.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're talking with him about the so-called covert messiah theory that you've been seeing so much about. On this Thursday afternoon, October the 10th, I invite your questions and your comments. He'll be with us for about another half hour. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email here in the studio. We get them in real time. TalkBack@issuesetc.org. TalkBack@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet as well @issuesetc. About another half hour, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. After that, Bobby Ross Jr. will join us. We'll be talking about media coverage of religion. A couple stories. The Associated Press has a story about Mormonism and its possible softening its position on homosexuality, but it turns out they don't have a lot of sources for that story. And the Wall Street Journal actually has an excellent piece on businesses and gay weddings. We'll see what Bobby Ross Jr. of GetReligion.org thinks about them in about a half hour here on Issues, Etc. Then we'll be talking Naomi and Ruth, Christ in the Old Testament, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The Faith Once for All Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Who was Jesus? Is he a historical character? Who wrote the Gospels? Why are they written in Greek? Why did they have a pro-Roman perspective? Why was the religion headquartered in Rome?
And the penny dropped that Jesus, as a human being, never existed.
Few more voices of the scholars who contribute to the film Caesar's Messiah, based upon the book of the same name. By the way, it has a sequel that's coming up as well called The Single Strand, from the American biblical scholar, term used cautiously, Joseph Atwill, his theory being popularized as the covert Messiah theory. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest, responding to the theory and to some of the, well, we'll talk about this in a moment, the atmosphere of credulity in which theories like this can often take root. Dr. Montgomery, this summer's speakers at your International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights reads like a who's who of Issues, Etc. guests. Tell us about the Academy.
Well, the reason why it reads like a who's who is because the audience for Issues, Etc. Consists of exactly the people that we think should be in Strasbourg in July learning how to defend the faith. The fact is that the Issues, Etc. and the Academy are on the same wavelength. The Academy is an institute of advanced studies in apologetics. During a two-week period, it's possible to learn about the nine fundamental areas in which it's vital to defend the faith today as we present the gospel. This consists of lectures, each of them short courses, mini courses of 4 hours each, in areas such as historical apologetics, scientific, legal, medical, and so forth, and literary. And these areas are the ones where, invariably, if you're presenting the gospel to a non-Christian, you're going to run into the objections that are rampant today against the faith. And our lecturers are specialists in these areas, and they present the very best counterarguments, the very best responses, so that you can get the person off of these objections and back to the cross of Christ, so that you're able to present the gospel, the saving gospel of our Lord. We have this summer Dr. Angus Menuge of Concordia University in Wisconsin. This year, he is the president of the Evangelical Philosophical Society, the society that brings together Christian philosophers across the United States, a most distinguished appointment. And we have Steve Hein, who is an active Lutheran apologist. Of course, as always, you have Craig Parton, defense attorney in California, who has debated non-Christians and who has a wonderful speaking style, and your humble servant. This program is unique. The lineup of lecturers is not the same each summer, so if you'd like to hear those people, this is the summer in which to come. And we take only 20 people each summer. They're already a fourth of the places gone. So it's very important, if you'd like to be a part of this, that you register for it, send in the deposit, and make sure that you're going to be with us in Strasbourg. The program takes place in the French Rhineland, which is probably the most beautiful part of Europe, very close to Switzerland, very close to the Black Forest in Germany, and, of course, only 2 hours from Paris. The whole cultural and theological and academic experience is marvelous. It's the 17th year of this program, and we've had consistently positive reactions to the program over that period of time. We strongly recommend that people who are on the wavelength of issues, etc., get in touch with us as soon as possible to make sure that it's possible for you to attend this summer.
Folks, you can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights held each summer in Strasbourg, France, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Montgomery, you dealt in part with an answer to this question in a more general way a few minutes ago, but something more particular for you. You talked about what we have by way of the New Testament documentation and its proximity to the events they allege to record, the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ, in particular his death and resurrection. How would you respond in general to the claim that stands behind the covert Messiah theory, which is really essential to it, which is Jesus as a person in history never existed?
that claim is so off the wall that no serious historians have ever maintained it. Even historians who take a critical view of the New Testament documents, even the people who are involved in the Jesus Seminar, these people have never gone that far. And the reason is that the picture of Jesus that you have in the Gospels is so commanding that it just can't be discounted in this fashion. This is not the product of a literary creation at all. Some historians of the 19th century used to say, if you think that this person was created, it would require someone greater than himself to have managed that. That we do not have.
Let's talk a little bit about one of the aims that Atwill has admitted to having in putting forth his covert Messiah theory. He's not so unrealistic as to think he can entirely undermine Christianity. He said people will still cling to it. But here's a quote I'd like you to respond to, because it really goes to the reasons he's saying what he wants to say. He says, although Christianity can be a comfort to some, it can also be very damaging and repressive, an insidious form of mind control that has led to blind acceptance of serfdom, poverty, and war throughout history. He's critical of Christianity's track record, so to speak, in history. What's your response?
Well, it's unfortunate that his prejudice has kept him from such works as Al Schmitt's work on how Christianity has impacted history. The fact of the matter is that there's probably never been an influence of such a positive nature in all of human history as has been provided by Christianity. From the earliest orphans' homes, from the earliest efforts to keep people from exposing female children, let them die on the hills at the time of the Roman Empire, on through the founding of the universities in the Middle Ages, into the Reformation and the beginnings of universal education, and the 18th century abolition of slavery, which came directly from the works of people like Wilberforce in England, on a direct Christian motivation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It makes me think always of Malcolm Muggeridge's comment that he's yet to find a Unitarian leper colony. Leper colonies were not founded by Unitarians or by unbelievers. They were founded by people as a result of the love of Christ having motivated them to do this sort of thing. So in the case of Atwill, we've got another instance of someone who, for one reason or another, has this prejudice against Christianity. He reads the history of the church through his own jaundiced eye and cannot face the actual facts.
What would you say about, I can't think of a better term for it than kind of the atmosphere of credulity in which theories like this tend to grow up and take root and kind of gain popular acceptance. We could say gullibility if we were being less gracious. What are your thoughts there, Dr. Montgomery, with a couple minutes?
Well, this is a product of the lack of education and the lack of culture that exists today. There are vast numbers of people who have no critical ability to deal with this sort of thing. They watch television, they accept whatever CNN happens to be presenting as the news of the day. They take whatever the popular opinions happen to be. And if you combine that with the prevailing secularism today, you have a real problem, because secularism melts people's heads. If you are not benefiting from an eternal perspective, if you don't think that there's any reason for life, that there isn't any God, there's no last judgment, there are no ultimate moral values, if you feel that way, you've got such a perverted understanding of the nature of things that you will accept this sort of thing without any difficulty at all. You won't have the criteria, either epistemological or moral, to be able to deal with such things. This is why, by the way, a Christian education is so vitally important. Without a Christian education, you're not even going to be able to maintain a modern democracy. It's not going to be possible because there aren't any values to underlie the whole thing, and you're not going to be able to use any sort of decent criteria for distinguishing between truth and error. So you're a sitting duck for this kind of nonsense.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. He's professor emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, an author and editor of more than 50 books, including his latest, Christ as Center and Circumference. You can purchase Dr. Montgomery's books under the Listen on Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We're going to have another 10 minutes with Dr. Montgomery on the other side of the break. This break is a great time to give us a call with a question or a comment. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc. 10 more minutes with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. Then Bobby Ross Jr. will join us from getreligion.org. We'll talk about some media coverage of religion stories. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us in the last half hour. We'll continue our weekly series with him, Christ in the Old Testament. Today we'll be in Ruth chapter 1, the story of Naomi and Ruth. Where do we find Christ in that Old Testament story? That one actually is a real direct, actual genetic connection between the story of Naomi and Ruth and of Christ, but there are other connections as well. We'll talk about them in the last half hour of Issues, etc. Stay tuned. More about the covert Messiah theory right after this.
Revealed to me down in my soul. There were two shooters on the grass and nowhere. Never walked on the moon. Elvis ain't dead. You ain't going crazy. It's all in your head. Let us sing. It's all interpretation.
Christological. Creedal. Confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Some of us are saying that this was a son God turned into a Jewish man.
In all of this, we're dealing with literature. We're not dealing with history. So the answer is no, there is no history to this character of Jesus. It's entirely a literary creation.
Christianity was invented by a little-known family of Roman Caesars, the Flavians. And they left us documents to prove it.
Just a little more of the claims of the so-called covert Messiah theory being put forth by Joseph Atwill. And of course, people are somewhat alarmed to hear at least the initial claim that Jesus didn't exist and that there's some proof that the New Testament was not authored by eyewitnesses to the life of Jesus, but in fact by the Roman Caesars as political propaganda. Is there any substance to it so far? In our conversation with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, no substance whatsoever. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. Folks, Christian students at the college level are going to be confronted with theories and ideas and challenges like this at the secular campus across the country all the time. Whether it's their fellow students or their university professors, they're going to be challenged to defend the historicity of the Christian truth claims. Now, LCMSU wants to help those college students in facing these challenges, in helping them think like a Christian, think carefully, and be able to defend their faith and stand by the truth all the way through the 4 years of college or however long it takes. You can find out more about Christian students being confronted with this and what LCMSU is doing to help them at LCMSU. It's lcms.org/LCMSU. lcms.org/LCMSU. Dr. Montgomery, one of the basic claims being put forth here, and although it's not overtly made in any of the press material that I have seen, but it stands to reason, is that there cannot be any evidence for the existence not only of Jesus, but of Christianity prior to the alleged fabrication of it by the Flavian Caesars after 70 AD. It would seem that that's a rather high bar of proof that Atwill has set for himself. No evidence of not only for Jesus, but of Christianity, period, before 70 AD. How would you respond?
Well, we've already pointed out that if the Harnack argument is sound, then certainly you've got at least two of the synoptic gospels written prior to 70 and in circulation. So, you know, how is that able to be dealt with? The fact is that the burden of proof rests upon anybody who makes a claim like this, and at will has absolutely no way of supporting that claim. It's interesting also to me that in the news reports of this and the comments that he makes, there seems to be an underlying political motive in this stuff. He is convinced that Christianity is on the side of the establishment, and in some fashion Christianity has managed to oppress the poor. There's a kind of leftist political agenda involved in this thing as well. Now, that of course would not refute the claims that he is making, but since he has absolutely no evidence for these claims whatsoever, it drives us to ask, what is he really up to? What is he trying to accomplish in all of this? I'm also amazed at the claim that his book has had this staggering influence. I simply cannot believe this. There's apparently a German translation of it, and there isn't any serious discussion of this here in Europe at all. It looks to me as if this is one colossal con by the gentleman who has absolutely no academic background for making any of these assertions whatsoever, and his sidekick. The sidekick, by the way, is particularly interesting. This is Kenneth Humphreys, and one writer on him says that it's been extremely difficult to find out much about him, right? He being one of the people involved in this debate coming up this next week. This is the only information available, which is from Humphreys' curriculum vitae. Some people want to know where I'm coming from. I'm an ex-college lecturer, ex-photographer, ex-computer salesman, all right? I've been fascinated and appalled by the history of the Christian faith and have made its legacy in crimes a lifelong study. Okay? Why are we listening to people like this? I mean, aren't we concerned to get solid information in an area as important as the Christian faith? I mean, this has to do with eternity. In medicine or in law, we normally don't listen to crackpots. I can't fathom why we are paying attention to this kind of thing.
Herman is listening in Illinois. Herman, thanks for waiting on the line.
Thank you. Yes, it sounds like to me like this. Mr. Atwell is in a line of people we see now who feel all of a sudden if they attack Christianity, they make themselves out to be instantaneously world-class scholars, and they can do it quick enough, make enough money, enough get on TV shows and lecture circuits, and then before their old news cash in enough to have, shall we say, a big bank account, and then somebody else comes on the stage. It certainly sort of looks like what's taking place here.
Thank you, Herman. Thanks for listening in Illinois. Dr. Montgomery.
I'm not sure of that as the motive, but it certainly does look suspicious. There's no doubt about that. My problem with all this kind of business is that if we were in other areas of life, law, medicine, engineering, architecture, if we were to pay attention to self-made authorities who present bizarre claims without evidence, you know, all of normal societal activity would collapse. People would be dying from bad medicine. They would be in jail unjustly because of bad legal advice. The buildings that the architects produced would be falling down. The bridges the architects constructed would be collapsing. And yet, when it comes to religion, for some odd reason, there's always somebody willing to listen to this kind of junk.
Were this to kind of be subjected to the kind of scrutiny that we would, if it weren't Jesus, if it were some other figure of history that some ill-educated person were suggesting, were proposing by way of theory, didn't exist, was the product of political propaganda in the ancient Roman world. Just pick any figure of ancient history alongside Jesus you want. If it were evaluated totally in terms, and it weren't Jesus, do you think people in general would be as gullible as they are?
Well, they wouldn't pay any attention at all because those figures wouldn't be of any real interest to them. You know, in the 19th century, there was an Anglican-Irish bishop by the name of Richard Whately, and Craig Parton, who will be teaching on our program as always in Strasbourg this summer, did a book on Whately. Whately had a wonderful sense of humor, and this was at the time when the deists were beginning their criticism of the Bible and of the story of Jesus. And Whately did a book entitled Historic Doubts Concerning Napoleon Bonaparte. What he did in that book was to argue, as the critics of the New Testament have argued, that everything that we know about Napoleon comes from either people who just loved him or people who couldn't stand him. In other words, all of the testimonies were prejudiced. And therefore, says Whately, Napoleon obviously never existed at all. He's just a creation of this kind of thing. And the hilarious aspect of this is that since we all know that isn't the case, then we have to reevaluate the kind of theories that are being presented. And Whately wanted us to reevaluate the kind of negative criticisms of Jesus that are presented by the people who are using exactly that same kind of argument. Well, we've got another instance of that here. This is exactly what's going on in the case of this Flavian theory.
Of course, with only about a minute here, Dr. Montgomery, this will not be the last attempt on the part of non-scholar in the case of Atwill, or even people who do have bona fide scholarly credentials, to undermine the truth claims of Christianity. Should Christians lose sleep at night that someone's going to discover something or put something forward that will essentially undermine the historic credibility of Christianity? About a minute here, Dr. Montgomery.
Absolutely not. You don't need a tranquilizer. You can get a good night's sleep. The fact of the matter is that the solid evidence for the gospel record has been around for 2,000 years. And the case for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, historically, juridically, is better than that for any other event of the classical world. And we have the effect of this through the centuries. And if you are a Christian believer, you have the evidence of this in your personal life. You know that God is there. Look how he's taken care of you. And for the non-Christian, all I can do is to say, for goodness sake, try this. Try this. It's proven itself in the lives of people for 2,000 years, and it's doing that every day at this very moment.
Dr. John Warren Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ as Center and Circumference. Dr. Montgomery, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're most welcome.
Folks, here's a way that you can help us defend the faith and teach the truth and advertise your Confessional Lutheran congregation here on the program, in our Issues, Etc. journal, and elsewhere. It's our congregational sponsorship program called the Issues, Etc. 300, a group of congregations that have pledged to support Issues, Etc. annually to the tune of $1,000 or more in their budget. Now, it is budget time. That means congregations are sitting down right now and hammering out their each line item of their upcoming fiscal year budget, and they're doing so with an eye to what to put in and what to leave out. We would like it very much if your congregation would put Issues, Etc. in one of those line items in their mission or advertising budget, and do so to the tune of $1,000 or more, and join the Issues, Etc. 300. You can find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 and how to join at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find a one-page flyer there that's easy to download. You can print it off and take it to your congregation. Present it to them and ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. Thank you in advance for doing so. When we come back, Bobby Ross Jr. of GetReligion.org is going to be our guest. We're going to be talking about an Associated Press story about Mormonism and homosexuality. The Associated Press didn't have a lot of details, pretty thin on details in some of the claims made in both the headline and the lead. And then there's a Wall Street Journal story about businesses and gay weddings that threads the needle very nicely. We'll have a bad example of religion journalism and a good example with Bobby Ross Jr. when we come back. Then we'll be talking Naomi and Ruth in our Christ in the Old Testament series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer.
Yeah, Oktoberfest. Not in Munich, but in Kewaunee, Illinois, at St. Paul's. Sunday, October 13th to the 15th. If you've never been, you really need to come. It's the best party on the block. And our guest this year is Pastor Todd Wilkin of Issues Etc. We have worship and music, a speaker, and then brats and beer and laughter and loads of fun. Call us at 309-852-2461. Leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you. Yeah, Oktoberfest.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.